Football Sack podcast time. It's a Tuesday. As always, I'm hosting it, and my name's Jack Quigley, and as always, hosting it with me is Christian Leyland. Welcome back, Christian.
Well, thank you, Jack.
Today's the review show. We'll be talking A-League, we'll be talking Premier League, and a lot of interesting stuff as well. So are you looking forward to it?
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it.
Very nice.
Let's get it on. Alrighty, we're back in the studio. It is Tuesday, as I said, and we are here to review some A-League action. In a time where A-League crowds continue to fall, we continue to soldier on.
We do. What else can we do?
Well, we could just quit.
We could.
Yeah.
But then we make a lot of people very sad.
Yeah, true, because we have a listener.
We have a listener, yeah. And when they listen to us, they feel a lot better about
That's
themselves.
Right. And we need to keep our listener happy,
because
otherwise I'll have to ring her and say, look, Mum, I'm sorry, we're not doing the show anymore. But you get to talk to me on the phone, so don't worry. Right, let's go straight headfirst into the A-League action. And we kicked off with a replay of the first match of the season,
yes,
despite the fact that that was like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Central Coast Mariners with a repeat result.
Yeah, it was the exact same result as the first round.
Yeah, 1-0 win. Daniel McBreen scoring that number 2 shirt in the limelight yet again, which mm-hmm. frustrates me greatly. He'll probably get the golden boot.
He will.
The way that he's going.
And so they'll get the number 2 shirt, you know, in all framed and stuff, and put up in the FFA offices just to taunt you even more.
Yeah, that's right. In Striker of the Year, number 2.
Number 2.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
They should also, I'm surprised the Mariners don't do what Arsenal did and give, like, a centre-back number 10. Do you know Arsene Wenger did that because he didn't want a new striker to have Dennis Bergkamp's number?
And then didn't they give it to Walcott or something straight afterwards?
They gave Walcott Thierry Henry's number.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes,
That game, 6,000 people, disappointing crowd. It should be stressed also that the A-League always does crowds a bit tough for the first few rounds because of obviously the clash with the finals time in other codes.
Yes.
So we will see it pick up. But the thing that just keeps confusing me is, and we talked about it briefly on last week's show, is why we are getting clubs with members. And with your membership, you get like a season ticket.
Yes.
Not going to these games. And it's not like one or two people. Like thousands of people.
Yeah.
What was the Hearts one? There were about 3,000 people under their members were. No, they had 5,000 members.
They had about 4,000.
4,500 crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're gonna pay the money to get a membership, you might as well go to all the games, surely. Or if you can't make it, give your ticket to a friend.
Yeah, I assume that they must have had some AFL game or something to go to.
Yeah, well, I think Collingwood were playing their semi-final the exact same time across the road or something.
Yeah, which is probably understandable. You got sort of important game there and not amazingly important game in the A-League at this stage of the season anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Try telling that to Sydney FC fans, though, because they are bottom of the league, and that's our second game to look at here. And we should also mention an interesting little fact here.
Mm-hmm.
After 6 rounds of the new season, this is the first time in the history of Australian football.
So this is not just the
A-League. Not just the A-League, but any Australian football competition, that last year's champions have been at the bottom of the ladder, and the team that finished bottom the season before have been at the top of the ladder.
Yeah, the first time ever where they've been outright first and last.
Yeah, which is very interesting.
It is. It's incredible.
Sydney FC, Vitislav Levitska came out and said he'll be very thankful that they have the bye. They'll be looking forward to a week off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure. I think they'd probably rather get a win under their belt, wouldn't you?
Yeah, possibly. But the momentum at the moment is just, you know, they're not winning at all, and they're not scoring that many goals.
Yeah.
So maybe a week off just to refresh and come back again, start again, could maybe do them a favour.
Yeah. They went down 2-1 in Wellington.
Which, in fact, it's not so bad, really.
I mean, well, that's right. I think Wellington will be in the grand final, if not hosting it this year. Tough place to go. And poor old Wellington again. It was cold and it was wet. And they still got, I think, what was it, 8,500 people turned up or something
like
that?
Well, you know, success spreads success, so the more crowds you get. Not a big fan of their style, though. It is very long ball-y.
Oh, I don't know if it is. They kind of, they're direct. They want to get it up to Eiffel and Greenacre, but that's because they're two of their best players, and you want your best players on the ball as much as possible. They got Tim Brown sniffing around in behind them as well, so I don't mind their style. Yeah. I enjoy watching
them. Okay, well, yeah, it works for them. I'm just saying, it's not the prettiest style to watch, but it does work for them. And Eiffel is a great player, so he does make up for any shortcomings they do have.
Is he the best player in the league at the moment?
Oh, he'd have to be close, wouldn't he?
I think he probably is. Yeah, right now, anyway. Hernandez is starting to show glimpses of the form this season that he had in the last couple. Hit the bar with a fantastic free kick on the weekend.
Still just glimpses, though. He just has these little cheeky, sneaky moments.
Yeah.
But he's still not...
Still looks overweight, too.
He still looks overweight. He's not exactly...
You get the feeling he's going to be one of those guys who just always looks overweight.
Yeah. No, that's all right. I mean, look, Charlie Miller was always overweight, and he just dominated the
league. Is he still alive?
He's gone. Oh, he's alive, yeah.
Goodness me.
Play for goal goes one day, dead the next.
Afraid we had to put him down.
No hope for that, man.
Yes. Has he gone home, or is he still living in Australia, or what?
Actually, I don't know. I just know he's not playing.
He's not playing A-League football anymore. Well, that's disappointing. I still think he probably could have had something to offer.
I think so.
Surprised the Fury or something didn't throw some kind of offer at him just to get him up there, because I reckon he could have been good for the Fury.
Oh, I think so, actually. Yeah, they're not going... apart from the loss this week, they're not going too badly. So.
Yeah, good point. And we'll talk about them when we get to them.
Okay, cool.
Our third game to talk about on this show is Melbourne Victory 3, Brisbane Roar 0, which we kind of almost segued into by talking about how fat Carlos Hernandez is.
It was a little segue here, just my own personal point. I obviously support two clubs, the Roar and Manchester City.
Yep.
Before this weekend's games, none of them had conceded a goal. But by the end of it, they conceded four, three of which were the biggest defensive errors you'll ever see.
Yeah, Joe Hart had a clanger for Man City.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
We were talking before the show about how he just... I looked at the TV whilst he was not standing in his penalty area, and I hadn't seen him come running out of his penalty area, so I was a little confused. And you said it was just interesting that Kolo Touré was standing behind him, closer to the goal than the goalkeeper was.
It was crazy because I was watching it. It was like zoomed in on the ball, and then he just came from nowhere. And I'm just like, "What's he doing?" It's like 25 meters out of the goal, and the full four back line there with the ball. I just couldn't understand it, but then again, what's his name? Luke De Vier had a shocker.
Yeah.
A shocking mistake. He actually had an all right game. It was just that one mistake.
They say if you're not sure your keeper's coming, you should get rid of it. And he probably should have in hindsight. Yeah. But Theoklatos really
should
have seen that the striker was behind him. Either come for it or told him that the striker was behind him.
There's a lack of communication. Yeah. Someone needed to say yours or mine.
You can't. You're not allowed to say mine.
You are, actually.
Are you really?
Yeah, the laws of the game says, it doesn't actually say you can't say mine, it just says you can't be unsportsman. And refs say, if you say mine, as in just trying to trick the opposition as if you're a teammate, then
that's unsportsmanlike conduct. Is it really?
Yeah, it's funny going to local games around here.
I did not know.
Because I learned that when I was on Brisbane, because when I learned about refereeing here, that's what they said. I went up to Brisbane, the first division and stuff.
Yeah.
And the referee's like, no, you don't do that. And they show me the rule book. I'm like, it's true.
Yeah.
And so every time I come down here, watch a game, and a player gets carded for saying mine or warned by the referees, I just go, no.
Yeah.
Amateurs, which they are, really, so.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Amateurs, correct.
Correct.
Moving on. Yeah. 3-0 to the Victory, 13,000 in attendance. Pondoliak, Ricardinho, and Grant Brebner with a nice goal.
Brebner's was a nice goal. That was
nice, clean strike.
Yes. It was.
Actually, we should talk about the other little tidbit of trivia that we have to do with the Roar. It was Michael Theoklatos who, going into this game, sets a record. Well, I'll read you the FFA's press release. It says, Brisbane Roar's Michael Theokletos established a new all-time Australian National League record, so that's A-League and NSL, for the longest time for a goalkeeper without conceding a goal on the weekend, which was great, when Melbourne Victory's Tom Pontiac scored against Theokletos on Sunday and ended a run of 876 minutes. It's 14 hours and 36 minutes without Theokletos conceding a goal in the Hyundai A-League. Which is unbelievable.
It's huge. It is. It's crazy. Like, because when he played for the Victory, because he played in their championship season, the last five of his games, he didn't concede a goal.
Yeah.
And then the first four and a half, in this one, didn't concede a goal.
Unbelievable stuff. It's just a mind-boggling statistic.
14 hours without conceding a goal. And then to have it conceded by a defender's just basic schoolboy hero, you'd probably be a little bit pissed off.
Yeah, you would be a little bit cheesed. So congratulations to you, Michael. You've done well there. Let's turn our attention to the West Coast, and we've talked about it on this show before, but yet again, we get a big crowd, big anticipation, put your house on the away team to nick it 1-0, and it happened again. Gold Coast United, Jason Kolina, you got to feel a little bit of Tando Valapi, because the cross came in, Kolina's bulleted a header at it, he's made it a spectacular save, but unfortunately it's rebounded to Kolina, who's volleyed it in instantly, so it was enough to win the game.
A win Gold Coast really needed, because they were another team who hadn't won yet.
Amana Traore is putting in his early application to be the A-League's answer to Emmanuel Eboué of Arsenal, in terms of he spends, to quote Kerry O'Keefe, he spends more time on the ground than Shane Warne's underpants. So he just, the wind was blowing him over on Saturday or Sunday.
I do like him, though. He's very skillful.
He's a good player. He gets involved.
You were there at the Fulham game when he just schooled Fulham, weren't you?
Yeah. He was brilliant that game, actually. Yeah. And then he took ages to actually play because he had some sort of clearance or something, wasn't it?
He actually had an injury early on.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and then he had another injury at the start of this season. Yeah. So he's not really spending that much time on the pitch. So
yeah. A quick look at the ladder.
Do we want to mention the Adelaide game?
We might want to mention the Adelaide game. Touché, I've just managed to gloss over that, actually. I'm glad you picked up on that. Speaking of good crowds, actually, 9,500.
Yeah, well, that's what I said.
They're getting behind their team.
Yeah.
That's great to see. Good stuff, Adelaide. Interesting for them, they've got 11 players coming off contract, so they really need to sort out this ownership of the club before the end of the season. Otherwise, they could be in strife. Let's hope that the players want to stick around, because it sounds like things are clicking pretty well down there. Rooney Collins got them working well.
Well, they'd want to sort it out before the end of the season, because, of course, the transfer window's in January.
Yes, good point.
Yes. So, they have got them clicking. You know, it's 2-1 win. It was a lot. It was should have been 2-0.
Yeah, it was a late goal from Sean Rooney.
Cassio literally passed it to the penalty spot, and the Jets player just decided to tap it in pretty much.
Yeah.
But no, look, Adelaide, they're playing really good football.
Lecky scored again.
Yes, that was
Flores scored
Flores
again.
Flores was a freakish
goal. Yeah, great goal, wasn't it?
It's obviously a cliche now, because everybody said in the last 2 days, but both these goals, they're going to be first and second in the goal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Which one did you like better out of his two goals that he's put in, his two applications?
Well, I have to say the first one, just because he celebrated pretty well.
I think the first one. I think anytime you run to the crowd, take somebody's wig and start dancing.
And then just throw it away.
Yeah, and then throw it away and not actually get it back to the person.
I just said that just press it up there.
Yeah.
But no, he's got a solid team, really cool. And for a team that which is early season favourite to win the Spooners, tell you what, they are.
They're not doing too bad. Yeah, just being top of the league.
Yeah, not so special, you know. Just chill.
Not too shabby at all.
I kind of feel sorry for the Jets, though, because it's they're not playing badly. They're just not getting winning the results. Yeah.
It was interesting that you say that. I'll save that tidbit of information for our EPL segment.
Okay.
But you carry on.
Yeah, it's like every game they're just that little bit too short. They have these good moments where they probably should have scored and haven't, and they've held out the opposition and they just let them in. It's just like, if I was Branko Cilino, I'd be pretty frustrated.
Yeah.
Because they're not playing badly, they're just not getting the results.
Yes, that's right. Poor Michael Bridges looked dejected when he came off the other night. He was just like, looked like a man who was just like, this should be working. We should be getting results. Mm-hmm. We're not playing badly, but it's not working. So, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
They should also be getting paid.
Yes, touche. Yes.
Anyway, ladder.
Ladder, which is what I wanted to say before you correctly stopped me.
You were about to say rudely interrupted, weren't you?
No, I said correctly. As we mentioned, Adelaide United sit atop of the A-League alphabetically and in terms of legitimacy.
Legitimacy, well, that's a good way to be on top of the ladder.
That's right. If you've covered both bases there, Adelaide, you've done well. Mm-hmm. They are shortly ahead of Perth Glory, 3 points clear of Perth Glory, and the Central Coast Mariners. Have sort of snuck up there and sit equal second.
Yeah, okay. Well, they've kind of, like you said, just snuck up there.
Yeah, not been spectacular.
No, not at all.
About getting out there. Melbourne Victory have started to click themselves into gear, mm-hmm. And they sit level with Brisbane Roar on 8 points. Wellington, I think, have been unlucky to just have 7 points.
Yeah, okay.
Because they've been good, mm-hmm. and I think that they'll come home.
How many draws do they have now, Wellington?
They've drawn just the one. Yeah, well, they've only played 5 games.
Okay.
1-2 drawn, 1-2. Mm-hmm. Then we have Gold Coast United, North Queensland Fury, Melbourne Heart, Newcastle Jets, and Sydney FC, who have scored 7 goals in their 6 games, but conceded 12.
Wow.
So conceding 2 goals a game. For a team that traditionally doesn't really bang them in, Sydney FC.
Well, that's what won the league last year, was their defence. It's just not going past them, so...
Yes, so they'll need to sort that out mm-hmm. if they want to make a charge up the table. That's our A-League review.
Okay, was there something you wanted to say about Fury before? You said we'd leave it to the Fury, but the
no,
to the
EPL.
EPL, okay. Yeah. Continue.
Which is where we are now.
Cool.
Let's review a little bit of EPL action. You texted me in about the 93rd minute of the Everton-Man United game saying, are you watching this? Yes. And yes, I was. I don't think I can actually repeat on air what I texted back to you because I was quite rather excited. It was... What a great game. It's always a great game there. And yes, I tipped on the show last week that if it's at Goodison, I'll get a point. When the fourth official was announcing the amount of time added on and Everton were down by 2 goals, I was slightly doubting myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as soon as Cahill scored, I was watching it with my housemate, and I said, Cahill will score here, and this was about 10 minutes before, and then I thought he had gone. He scored, and I said, don't rule this out, because Everton will throw everything at United.
Mm-hmm.
And they did deserved a point.
They could have almost snatched it.
Well, the controversy about Martin Atkinson, who just completely wrongly ended that game. The announcement was there will be a minimum of 3 added minutes to be played.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 2 goals in that added time.
And generally, you add another.
You add about 30 seconds, which actually for Arteta's goal took him about a minute to restart the game.
Yeah.
And then when the 3 minutes was up, he allowed United to have a corner.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't allow another 5 seconds for Everton to break up the other
because
end.
It was pretty much going to be a one-on-one.
Yeah.
And then Mark Hazard had said, oh, that's time.
You're not
going to have your one-on-one.
And
Alex Ferguson, thank you. Here's your 100 grand.
We'll see you next week. Thank goodness that Phil Jagiel, who shot, didn't go in.
Yes.
Because
that would have been huge.
Yeah, there would have been massive, massive cries for that game to be replayed because it was just an
absolute blunder.
Then
again, Everton probably would have been like, you know what, we're happy with the draw.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
But it was just incredible. Timmy Cahill scored one, set the two others up.
Yeah. He's still leading the English Premier League in goal scoring chances created, Tim Cahill.
Cool.
He's great form.
The first goal wasn't directly passed to him. He put the pass, which got the original shot.
Yeah.
And they scored off the rebound.
Yeah, he played the great ball for Arteta.
Yes. And it was just a crazy game. The whole game, I was just kind of sitting there going, okay, it's just a game. And then the last 5 minutes just went, poof. And I was wow. I'm glad I actually started to watch it.
Yeah.
It was very late though. So
Chelsea kept winning. That my other prediction that the Hammers would draw 2-2 with Chelsea.
you after 20 minutes.
I was half right after 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. God. We actually played really well.
Okay.
And you know, if we weren't playing, you know, the robot kind of team that Chelsea are, I think we would have got something out of that game.
Well, is that the first goal Chelsea conceded? Season?
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
And it was a good goal too, did you say it?
I didn't.
Scott Parker on the volley from outside the area.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. It's often said that it's a sign of, and this was what I was going to say when you said about Newcastle Jets,
mm-hmm.
It's often a sign of a good team that they win,
when
find a way to win too. Whilst not playing well.
Yes.
Avon Grant keeps saying that the Hammers are playing well but not getting the result. Is it then the sign of a really poor team? That they can find a way to lose whilst playing well.
Does it
work both ways? Because if so, we're screwed. Really, really, really screwed. Nice little trip for Stoke, away to Stoke for us next weekend too. We won't get anything.
Okay,
then we'll play Spurs at home the week after, where we won't get anything. A little,
well, you know,
little story.
Maybe the little relative, you know, just, you know, goes, just falls off the block. You might actually just come in at half time and just get yourself up.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah, maybe. maybe if Charlie Miller dies.
Yeah.
Okay.
We said last week we weren't going to talk about death and killers on the show. Remember that before the
show?
Did
we?
With Jezza? Never mind.
I don't remember that at all. My memory's not that good. That was a week ago.
Okay, cool.
No, it wasn't. It was about 4 days ago. That shows how good my memory is. I have a little story about Tottenham Hotspur, which I find quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anybody else who isn't a Tottenham Hotspur fan will find funny. Of course, you know, Spurs triumphantly stampeded their way into the Champions League by beating a bunch of young boys. Which, coincidentally, what is young boys' youth team called?
I don't know.
Younger boys? Yeah. Even younger boys. anyway, yeah, Spurs, you know, and the heroes that they are
by beating
young boys, mm-hmm. You know, and coming through the easiest of the qualifying ties for the Champions League after scraping fourth. They came out against Wigan Athletic in the Premier League a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wigan, who had been beaten 4-0 by Blackpool, 6-0 by Chelsea. Spurs walked out of the tunnel in a Premier League game, and they played the Champions League anthem over the PA system as the teams walked out.
Oh, God.
That is just typical Spurs. And if you didn't think that was hilarious enough, they go on to lose 1-0 to Wigan Athletic. And I just love that.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That is just, that made my day, that story. And it's just so typical Tottenham.
All right, question time.
Yes.
Does anybody apart from Spurs fans like Spurs?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right. Question time again.
Ooh.
We have a new segment. It's trivia time from the Football Sack.
Cool.
This is your chance to get in touch with the show if you think you know the answer to this trivia question. And if you get it correct, we'll give you a shout out and have a little chat about you and say some nice things about you on the show.
Awesome. Earn yourself a shout out.
Exactly. What we're going to do is I'm going to. It's a Who Am I segment.
Well, you're Jack Quigley.
Oh, see, you've won.
Oh, yes.
You didn't even give the listeners a chance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do I get a little shout-out now?
Yes. So I'd like to give a shout-out to our first Who Am I winner, Christian Leyland. So congratulations, Christian.
Where's the nice things about me? Come on now.
That's a nice car you've got above your eye.
Oh, thank you.
Christian's sitting here bandaged up because he's got a massive gash from playing football on the weekend. And it stretches the entire length of his eyebrow, which is quite interesting.
It's crazy, yeah. I think it's hospital time after this.
Yes. Yeah. What I want to know, if you can tell me, listeners, who am I? I've got 23 international caps for the Socceroos.
Mm-hmm.
I have played in Italy and Switzerland and England for a period of 9 years. I played for 3 clubs over there,
mm-hmm.
all of which ended in City.
That's interesting.
I then came home and played for 3 years in the A-League. And I'm now playing State League football. I won't give away where, but it is in Australia. And if you can tell me, we want you to email the show, info@thefootballsack.com,
mm-hmm.
or tweet us @thefootballsack if you're on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and just say trivia answer.
Mm-hmm.
Put that as your subject title in your email or on your tweet, or go into our Facebook page and say if you think you know who that mysterious footballer is. And our first correct entry, we'll get a shout out on the show.
Cool. And if extra bonus points, you can tell us the middle name.
Yeah, and if you can tell us, well, because if they find out who it is, they can probably just Wikipedia and find out the middle name. It wouldn't be that difficult.
Oh, true. Okay, no bonus points.
Yeah.
No.
Should we tell them the middle name, and that way...
I don't know, maybe someone in the subconscious is
actually
know it.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, we'll leave it for you to find out, because it's worth finding out. It's quite a good middle name.
It is.
It was my middle name.
Yeah, no, I've got a secret ambition.
So that's our...
I've got a depot after the hospital to change my middle name.
Yes. That's our trivia teaser for the week, so be sure to email the show and get in touch if you think you know who that footballer is. I'll go through it again. 23 international caps for the Socceroos, played in Italy, Switzerland and England, 3 years in the A-League just recently, and he's now playing State League football.
Cool.
So if you think you know who that is, email the show. We'd also like to take this opportunity to thank our supporters here at the Football Sack. They are Betfair, of course.
Very nice.
And if you go to our website, click on the Betfair logo and go open a $30 account, they'll give you a $50 free bet to bet on anything that you please. And if it doesn't win, don't sweat it. Doesn't matter. And if you do win, they'll let you keep your winnings.
Awesome. You can't lose. Brilliant.
You literally can't lose, but do stand to win, which is fantastic. We'd also like to mention our Sydney FC comp. Sydney FC support us here by giving us some tickets to give away to you.
Mm-hmm.
We could just pocket them and just go to the games ourselves, but we don't because we're nice guys.
Very nice, the nicest.
And you can just run us through again how they win tickets to Sydney FC matches.
Or they just go to our website, click on the win... click on the win us comp, the competition tab at the top, sorry. And you literally just put in who you think's going to win the result. Who's going to win, yep, win the game, the result. You put the winner, the scoreline, and pick one goal scorer in case of a tiebreak.
Yep.
And if you get it correctly, then you'll probably win the tickets.
Yes, that's right.
And they had two very good tickets, almost on the halfway line. Quite up close, so it's a great prize to win.
Good competition, good prize. Get out there and see some live football. Let's mention our Fantasy A-League ladder. We have a new leader, Emmanuel Katsonis. Apologies if that's pronounced incorrectly, Emmanuel, but you are top of the league.
Very nice, but with the team name, I bung my head.
Yes, I bung my head, which is good. Who had I'd Layer?
I'd Layer. That was our own Scotty Condon.
Yeah, that was good. That was the one that made me laugh the most when I read it. And... propping up the table, and I say prop because that's what position he plays.
He's got the in our shoulders rugby team. For it.
It was our friend who was on the show on Thursday or Friday, Jeremy Carrigan.
Jeremy Carrigan.
And I've got on my notes here, Jeremy Carrigan, a little arrow pointing downwards, and in inverted commas, going down. So, Jez, you'll be in the fantasy championship next season.
Oh, I love it.
Fighting it out with Scunthorpe United and whoever. In the championship these days.
I don't know. I might be just having a little bit of a mini revival, but I'm hoping to avoid the championship now.
Yeah.
You know, 3 or 4 weeks being dead last, including people who joined 3 weeks later above me.
Yes. How does that work? I don't know. We probably shouldn't waste time on the podcast talking about how A-League, how fantasy competitions make up for people missing the first few rounds of the season.
No, they don't get any points. They just started from zero.
How did they jump ahead of you then?
Because my first 3 weeks were really bad.
Did you literally get no points?
I don't know.
You must have if people were jumping you.
Because they got after like 3 weeks, I was on like 50 points, and these people were getting like 60 points in their first round. I'm just like, are you serious?
Oh, okay. In 3 weeks of accumulation, you got less than people were fluking in the first round. Who were you picking in your team for those first few weeks that flopped?
I don't know. Maybe Perez, who was injured, and Okoto, who was suspended. No, I was just...
I remember you mentioning that Okoto let you down, and I said, why? And you said he was suspended. That's not really his fault. You probably should have taken him out of your team.
I had Petkovic as a keeper, and he was letting in a lot of goals early on, and Colosimo was too, and... It's all good.
Yes.
Number 11 now. Watch out. Who's number one again, sorry?
Emmanuel Katsonis.
Watch out, Emmanuel. I'm on the way up.
Yeah, watch out, Emmanuel. You might be able to see him soon. Yes. And that's not a pretty sight for anybody concerned. We should wrap it up for today. We'll be back in the studio later this week, as we always are, with our preview show for the round ahead. We'll have our friend Jeremy back in the studio. Any closing thoughts that you want to add?
Not really, just get to the A-League, really. I really want to see some people get to the A-League. Yeah, we're trying to get as many people as we can to come. Look, if you know someone who hasn't been in the A-League, get them to a game, because it just takes one game and they're hooked.
That's right, exactly. If you go to a game and you enjoy it, you'll go back. So we just need to get people through the gates. We'll talk about the good games to go to on the preview show. So let's make that. Let's make next weekend drag a mate to the A-League round for football sack.
Good.
Let's get as many people to the games.
Start talking to people now. Get them interested.
Yes.
Offer to buy them a beer if you have to.
Yeah, that stupid thing you were talking about in last week's show.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week on the Football Sack Podcast.